In our series on King David, our King David series, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse number 1. And we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you for the six. Amen. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 1. Once you get there, let's all stand. We'll read verse 1, and then we're going to also read verse number 6, and we'll pray. I'm going to ask God for his help tonight. Let's all stand, if you're able to. 1 Samuel 30, verse number 1. The Bible says, straight from the Word of God, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire." Verse 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." We're going to talk tonight, listen to a thought, feeling the pressure. Feeling the pressure. Father, I pray tonight for divine help. I pray, God, for divine guidance. I pray, God, you fill the Holy Spirit. And God, give me the liberty to preach the word of God. I pray, God, that you use my mouth as your vessel to let the words flow from it as we read from the word to touch the hearts of the hearer. But I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would then speak to the heart of the hearer. And I pray, God, that they receive the message. And I pray, God, they apply the message. And they share that message. And also, God, be strengthened by the message from the word of God tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us in that particular area, that spot in our life, God, that needs your attention. And for that, God, we'll praise you too. Now I ask, God, if there's anybody here tonight that might be overwhelmed by the pressure, they're feeling the pressure. I pray, God, that as David responded to the pressure that he was feeling, I pray, God, we respond in the same way and then receive the same victory. And for that, God, we'll thank you. We love you much and we owe you everything. I thank you also for my brother Jonathan being here tonight with us. I pray, God, you'll bless him as he travels back and forth on the dangerous highways in the truck. How God keep him safe. I thank for his friendship and his family and what they meant to us throughout all these years. And for that, God, we'll thank you too. We love you, Father. And that's it for now. For us in your son's name, we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. May we see it. Feeling the pressure. The Bible says in verse number 6, "And David was not a little bit," but the Bible says, "And David was greatly distressed." Greatly distressed. That word distress here in the verse means to press or to be in distress. And when you look up the word distress in your Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word distress here means suffering great pain or torture. Severely afflicted. Watch this. Harassed. Oppressed with calamity. We all will find ourselves feeling the pressure from problems that we face in the midst of this life. And that's what was happening with David right here, my friends. He was feeling the pressure not from a foe, but from a friend. Not only from a friend, but from a particular situation that they found themselves in the midst of. By the way, before we even continue to go on, just as a recap, you got to remember now, they are living in Ziklag, but if you remember from our previous messages, they're in Ziklag not because God told them to go to Ziklag, but as you back up in a few chapters back, you'll find out that David made the statement that, you know what, if I stay here in the land of Israel, sooner or later, Saul is going to kill me. He's going to take my life. And so then David takes the people that were with them, the 600 men and their families, and then he goes into the land of the Philistines. He's gone somewhere that God did not tell him to go. And while he's there, he's facing situations that he didn't need to face if he had stayed in Israel. Because if you remember, every time the king Saul came by to get David, God always delivered David from the hand of Saul. But fear sometimes causes us to move somewhere where God has not told us to move. And if you remember, my dear friends, not one time does he ask God, should I go down to the land of the Philistines? Normally, he would talk to God about things. But in this case, he did not. And my friends, it's important for us to talk to the Lord because we can avoid a lot of heartache if we talk to God and get directions from him. He will spend 16 months in this land. And as a result of that, we find ourselves in this situation right here. The first thing we see is the problem. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 30, and it came to pass when, after David had left the king in chapter 29, they're heading back home. The Bible says when David and his men will come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. The Bible says, and they had taken the women captives that were therein. But here's some good news. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Let me pause here for a second. The Amalekites shouldn't even be here in the first place. Because God had told them how to deal with the Amalekites. Go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 25 and verse number 17. So what's that got to do with me, preacher? Sometimes God tells us to deal with certain situations and circumstances that we've not dealt with totally, and now we're still dealing with them here in 2016. Watch what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse number 17. Verse number 17. Look what God said about the Amalekites. Chapter 25 of Deuteronomy, and look down at verse number 17. The Bible says this: remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how we met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were few behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God have given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out, watch it guys, watch it, blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. But instead, if you remember, when King Saul was fighting the Amalekites, he slew a lot of them. But remember, he kept the king alive. And he had to deal with that situation with the prophet Samuel. And then say it was the folks' fault. I had nothing to do with it. And of course, this was just a spiral downward for him. But nonetheless, there were several times, if you study it out, when Israel had an opportunity to take care of the Amalekites, but they did not wipe them out, my friends. And now here they are taking things from King David, his family. But David shouldn't have been there in the first place. David should not have been in Ziklag. But yet here David is. He's in Ziklag. And the Bible says in verse number 3. So David and his men, and that's in 1 Samuel 30, verse number 3. So David and his men came to the city. And behold, it was burned. The Bible says with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been there? Well, you've wept and you've wept and you've wept and you have no more power, no more strength to shed another tear because you've wept them all out. There's nothing left. That's a hard place to be. And by the way, folks, these are men. You know, we have the little thing where, you know, men don't cry. Okay? The Bible does say the greatest man that ever walked face this earth, his name was Jesus. And Jesus wept. But nonetheless, when a man does cry, you better best believe there's something that's gripped his heart to cause him to weep like he's weeping. And these men had wept. So they had no more tears to weep. And sometimes, my dear friends, because we've lost something in life, We've lost something. It causes us to weep and to weep and to weep and to weep. But hold on a second. He didn't have to weep. Why? Because he shouldn't have been in Ziklag in the first place. But there he is. But thank God we have a God of mercy. And we've got a God of grace. The Bible says this, that David wept. They wept. They had no more power to weep. That word power means ability or strength. And then the Bible says, and David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And watch this. The problem, they've lost their family. They've lost their children. And they hurt. But then we see that's not the real pressure. Now we see the pressure that's on David. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. Why? For the people spake of stoning him. And he tells you why they want to stone him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. That word grieved means to show bitterness. Remember, my friends, that these 600 men, well, 400 first, but why being 600? They had came to David. They were in debt. They were distressed. They were discouraged. They come to David, and David is their leader. They're following the leader. Now they've gone off into Ziklag. Then they're about to fight against their own brothers when they go with the king over there, and he tells them to go back to the house. And they come back home, and now their wives are gone, their family's gone. I mean, they seem that they've lost everything, and now they're looking at David. Mm-hmm. We're going to stone you. We're going to kill you. How do you and I respond under pressure? How do we respond to those who are the closest to us? David loved those men. But yet they said, we're going to stone you. And a lot of times, my dear friends, the ones that might be the closest to you, the ones that are in your inner circle, when they find themselves distressed, when they find themselves under great pressure, a lot of times, my friends, they will lash out at the ones that love them the most. They will lash out at those who would help them the greatest. And now we see that David is also now distressed. This is pressure, man. He's feeling the pressure. Not only because his wife's gone, his family's gone, but now those in his inner circle have said, we're going to stone you. How are you and I going to respond under the pressure? Who are we going? It's like a dog that gets hurt, and you got to pull something out of his paw. He will bite you, yep. And as soon as you get it out, he will lick you to death. Amen. If you've ever had an animal, you know what I'm talking about. You know what? Sometimes the people that are hurting the most that you try to help will bite at you, will gnaw at you. But here's my question: how are we going to respond? How did David respond? Did David say, all right, y'all start throwing your stone. I'm throwing them right back. You know I'm good at my sling. Okay, who's the first one? Because I'm going to hit you right in the head. You're going down, buddy. And you won't be like hurting. You're going to be dead. But that is not how David responded. Instead, my dear friends, we see that he had a problem. We see that he had pressure. But then we see that he prayed. The Bible says in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself. He strengthened himself. He made himself grow, become firm, become strong in the Lord his God. And David said unto Abiathar, hey, priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod. That's the priestly garment of David. And David did something. He inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? But not only that, shall I overtake them? God, what should I do? Now, many of us, that's a no-brainer. They got your family. Go get them. Sometimes we look at things logically. Sometimes we look at things practically. What's the practical thing to do here? Okay. You're unemployed. What's the practical thing to do? Get a job. Okay. All right. First job comes available. You're unemployed. The practical thing is, well, take the job. Do you think you should probably pray first? I'm just asking. I mean, the Bible says that we're supposed to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We need to ask God, should I take this job? I mean, just because you're unemployed doesn't mean the first thing to say, hey, we hired. Hey, I'm going to. No, we need to pray first. Now, those around you will say, pray about what? You don't need to pray. You need a car, okay? Somebody's selling a car, okay? Matter of fact, somebody giving a car away. Somebody, well, that's a no-brainer. You just take the car they're giving. Do you think you should just pray? What's the harm in praying? You know, I never forget when my kids were growing up, they didn't want me to pray about everything. When they asked me could they do something or could they go somewhere, I said, well, let me pray about it. They'd be like. Now, if I said, let me think about it, okay. Well, you're going to pray about it. That means we ain't going. But you know what, my friends? That should be the first thing we do is pray and say, God, what should I do? And that's what David did. He did not respond like Samuel. Like Samuel was Saul. If you go back to another chapter, we didn't cover that chapter because that chapter didn't deal with David. But over there, Saul cries to God and God didn't hear a word he said. So he goes to a witch. Don't get mad. But some of us go to a horoscope. I asked a horoscope. Well, I'm a Leo. What they got for Leo today? Give me a fortune cookie. What's the other one? Say, I got other stuff out there too. Let me check this out. You know, let me what? Tarot card. You know them places all over the place. You know, if you just look real carefully. You ride up and down on some of these main roads, and you see them places all over the place. Now, they're not going to be all over the place unless somebody's going. Yeah. And my dear friends, for any person that's blood-bought, born again, to go to some type of place like that, you got to ask yourself, what's wrong with you? The Bible says, talk to your Father in heaven. And that's what David does, my friends. The Bible says he hooks up with the priest and says, get the ephod and let's talk to God. And then he asks the question, shall I pursue? And he don't stop there. Shall I overtake him? Now, what if God says, go ahead and pursue, but you don't get whooped? Then some will be like, we need to pray again. But David wanted to know. And what we see next, my friends, we go from the problem, the pressure, the praying, and then we see the promise. Verse 8 says this, and he answered him. God answered. And he said to David, pursue. Oh, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Boy, you're getting everything back. Yeah. Everything. Go ahead and pursue. My dear friends, when you and I are faced with pressure, when we feel the pressure, we respond like David and pray. See, my preacher, I need me a stronger promise. Can anything directly to me for that? Yeah. Look at me to Psalm 50 and verse 15. What about me? I mean, that was David. You know, David was a little bit different. Well, David was a man like you and me. He was a human being. He had flaws. We've seen them already, some of them. But look what the Bible says in Psalm 50 and verse number 15. This is God's word, his promise. The Bible says in Psalm 50 and verse 15, he says this, and call upon me in the good days. Oh, I'm sorry. And call upon me in the day of trouble. And I might deliver you. Oh, I'm sorry. I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify not yourself, but me. Let's break it down. That word call means to call out. Call to me in the day of trouble. That word trouble there means distress. It means the tightness. It means adversity. It means tribulation. He says, when you get yourself in trouble, call me. Some of them, like, if you get in trouble, don't call me. Please don't call me. I can't do nothing for you. But God says, you call me. And he said, when you call me, I'm going to do something. I will deliver. Amen. Y'all know I like word studies. One part of the definition of this word, will deliver, is word is called to pull off. Yeah, baby. You ever been in a fight? Or you ever been in a situation where the pressure has you all bent down? But then God says, I'll come by and I'll grab the pressure and pull that pressure off of you. That's like that tag team preaching, amen. Like that tag team wrestling. And tag team wrestling, a lot of times them guys will be laying down there and they about to go out and that guy be on the side, go, tap, go, go, hit my hand. And as soon as they hit his hand, man, he jumps up in the ring, he grabs that guy, throws him over there, that guy goes flying all over the wall and all kinds of stuff starts happening. Whew. You know what? Guys, I tell you what, you call me and I'm going to pull that pressure off of you. And what you're going to do next is glorify God. So you're going to glorify me. Let me get one more. Look over there in Psalm 91 and verse 15. Psalm 91 and look at verse 15. The Bible says this, very similar verse, says almost the same exact thing. He says this in verse 15 of Psalm 91. He shall call upon me, yeah, and I will answer him. That word answer here means respond, to pay attention. What do you like when somebody's talking to you and they pay attention? Yeah. And when they're not paying attention, you know it. But he says right here, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will respond. I will pay attention. I will be with him. He ain't by himself. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Same word. Pull him off and honor him. Wow. Gosh, I'm going with you. Every step of the way. That reminds me of the promise that Jesus said. He said, Lord, I'm with you always. Always. To the end, Jesus Christ is with us. So as a preacher, I can't see him. You ain't got to see him to know he's there. Amen. Yeah. So I need to see him. Okay. Do you see air?
No.
You know it's here. How you know it's here? Because you ain't dead. Because if there was no air in this room, we'd all be passed out dead. Right. But the air is here. You know what's here because you are alive. My dear friends, listen, we might not be able to see God, but his presence is ever there with us to help us every step of the way. So when you feel that pressure, and I have no doubt, especially this time of the year, we begin to feel the pressure. Mamas feel the pressure. Daddies feel the pressure. It's like, oh my, I kept telling them all year, we don't get it for Christmas. We'll get it during Christmas. We'll get it for Christmas. Now, that was in March. We get it Christmas, you know, in April. Now, don't worry about it. We get it for Christmas, okay? We get it for Christmas. Not Christmas here. You're like, yeah. I looked at the bank account. We get it for your next Christmas. No. So you feel the pressure. And some of us feel the pressure so much. You know, well, not us, the mother folks. They feel the pressure so much that they're going to put themselves in a hurt. They're going to be hurting, you know. That you have your grab bags for your family grab bag. And then it's like, you know, well, I gotta get for them, I gotta get for this one, I gotta get for that one. That's great. But you know what? Instead of trying to outdo everybody, trying to impress everybody, just do what you can. So I hope we got my name and gonna do what they can. I want them to do what they will, or whether I will do what I want. Hey, man, listen, hold on. What's this about? It's about giving. But why has it always got to be monetary thing? Why it got to be physical thing? I mean, I love my children to death. I know I aggravate them. I know I do. They ask me every year, Dad, what you want? What you want? I'm like, it don't matter. Whatever, you know what? Daddy, what do you want? What do you want? Because I'm going to be honest with you guys. You know what? I mean, if I don't get anything, I'm not gonna go into a depression. I'm not gonna be in a fetal position. You know, well, nobody love me. You know, I mean, I'm not basing upon that, my soul, you know. You know, whatever they get me, I'm gonna thank the Lord for it, and they'll get me nothing. I mean, sometimes me and Joel will say, we're not getting each other anything. And then you know what happens, we wind up getting each other stuff, then it'll be all jacked up, you know. But anyhow, but my point of the matter is this, my friends, we've got a God that wants to relieve that pressure from us. But we're gonna have to do something. They call me. Send him a spiritual text message or inbox him, whatever you got. Hey, spiritually, send it to him. But he says, call me. Matter of fact, you be riding down the road in your car and call me. So I preach, I can't close my eyes. I'll never forget one time I said, let's pray. Man, the person was riding with me. I said, let's pray. It's okay. And we start praying. And they opened up my eye to see if my eyes was open. Listen, listen, I go by faith, but I ain't crazy. If I'm driving, I ain't closing my eyes. Amen. Listen, you ain't got to have your eyes closed to pray. You can be at work and be praying while you're doing your work. You can be talking to the Lord. The question is, are we talking to him? Two questions. We're done. First question is this. Are we feeling the pressure tonight? Are we feeling the pressure tonight? You know, whether it's a relationship, if it's a financial pressure, is it whatever, I don't know what it is, but are you feeling the pressure tonight? The second question is this. And this is very important. How are we responding to the pressure? How are we responding to the pressure? Tonight, I went to go pick up my wife because, you know, we got the vigor situation going on. I got everything straightened here at the church. I went and zipped up down there. I got my wife, you know, but then we hit the train. And that train was like, you know what, we're taking our time tonight. So then I turned around and got back on the interstate, came back around the other way, and this train's still there. It was coming in this direction. That means everything is going to be blocked. And I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, man, we're going to be late. But by great God's grace, and Jordan can testify this, I didn't go, oh, Lord, I'm going to be late, and I'm the pastor, I'm the preacher, woman. She said she was sorry several times. Listen, I'm not going to, what was going off going to do? We both been in there trying to choke each other. Listen, my dear friends, that was pressure. I text Brent, I said, Brent, I'm going to be about 5 minutes late. By the time the train went on, I said, well, we'll be right at 5 minutes late. We'll be fine, you know. Most of y'all get to 10 minutes later anyway, so we're good. I was kidding. But you know what? How are we going to respond to the pressure? The last one is simply a statement. Let's call out to God and believe his word of promise. He keeps his word. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings.